£1.75 each. You can imagine the devastation that would have been caused to vehicles and to anyone that happened to be out and about, and also to livestock in the fields. And we could say as well to buildings when hailstones of that size were coming down. But the Bible commentators are all convinced from church history that the hailstones that are mentioned here in verse 11 were bigger than that. And it says there that there were more that died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. You could say that this was a miraculous intervention by the Lord on the part of Israel. And fascinating as it may be, we certainly believe that the hailstones were sent and even guided by him. But fascinating as that may be, I find the following verse, or the following verses, to be some of the most amazing words that we find regarding anyone who was involved in conflict in the Old Testament. There is here in these verses that we've read tonight the miracle of what is known as the long day. People whom Joshua and his associates were hunting down, if we can use that expression. They may have escaped, if you look at verse 20, and some did, but more may have escaped under cover of darkness. What really was needed now, when the battle was going well, and the Lord evidently had stepped in, what was needed now was more light. And Joshua, in verse 12, in the sight of all Israel, what he does it in faith. He didn't do it in a corner. Everyone was watching and listening. Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thy moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. I have read those words, I don't know how many times, and I never cease to be amazed at how we see here the hand of omnipotence in a most remarkable way working for his man. If you look there in verse 13, you'll see that the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. This was an extra long day. Ask the question, as you rightly might, what really happened? Well, the earth slowed or stopped turning at its usual speed on its axis. Now, you tell that to the world in general, and they laugh you to scorn. And you try to explain it to people, and they will think that you are totally carried away. But if you were to read some of the secular history annals of China and of Peru, of Mexico and of Egypt and of many other places, these recordings of history from way back then, they tell of an exceptionally long day. Amazing. The day when the sun stood still because Joshua told the Lord that he needed it to do that. Because he needed more light. More light to pursue the enemies of Israel. What an amazing situation here, and what an encouragement for Joshua and those who were with him. As I looked at the verses again, and thought of what their need was. Their need was more light. I see here an application regarding the gospel. And if you're not saved tonight, I trust what I say will be applied by God himself to your heart. And that you will listen with a ready heart. to respond to his prompting. So we're looking tonight at the title, More Light Needed. More light needed. I want you to notice, first of all, that there was the large request. When Joshua came along and he asked for the sun to stand still and for the moon to stay where it was, this was asking for something that possibly was far above anything that anyone in known history would have asked for before. Now, we know some people like that. Alexander the Great, someone came along to him one time with a ridiculous request. They said, "Oh, yes, can do that." And people were amazed. I thought, "Why did you do that?" Someone asked him. And he said, "They honored me with the size of their request. They honored me with the size of their request." There were one or two similar situations in the life of Napoleon. But men and women, you and I as Christians, for years and right up to this moment in time, we are coming to the Lord and we're asking for much. Because those that we love and those that we think of around the country that are not saved are in absolute darkness, and you and I are asking for more light for them. It's very easy to think that people are too far gone. It seems humanly impossible that some would ever turn to the Lord. Some have come in and out of church doors for decades, and some are now very well stricken in years, and that's how they still go. And it doesn't seem that anything will ever change, and yet there are Christians who are praying for them. There are others, and their commitment to worldly pursuit seems to be completely in control of their life. Every waking moment, it's about chasing after the world and what the world has to offer them. There are yet others who won't believe a word that the Bible says. One time a preacher was talking to a man, and he had the opportunity to witness to him. And as he talked with him and explained to him how his greatest need was salvation and that how all men were lost by nature, the man listened really, really carefully, and he said to the preacher, he said, "If I believed what you've just told me to be true, I would go down on my hands and knees and crawl around the world to tell as many men and women as I possibly could. But I don't believe a word of it." Does that not sound familiar to you? I don't believe a word of it. And there are so many in Northern Ireland tonight, and it seems to us that they need more light. Reading over in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You've heard me quote that before in the prayer meetings. You've prayed it. But as you look at the word mighty there, it says, "Call unto me," that's the praying and asking, "and I will answer thee," that's the assurance, "and show thee great and mighty." The word mighty there, it means hidden thing which thou knowest not. Or if you want to word it another way, "I will show you the like of which you have never seen." And just as Joshua called for something completely unusual, a very large request, when Christians pray for you, unsaved person, you who may think that you're too far gone, you who may be convinced that the world has complete control of your life, you who up to this moment in time have not believed the word of God in a way that would have you appropriate its teaching to your life. The Lord is able. He's able to give you more light tonight. And that means to show you what you need and show you who you need. And maybe there's someone listening and you're not saved and you feel you need more light. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So we turn you to him. And to get more light, we want you to think of his work. How he bore the sin of all who had ever come to him. And to this day, his people are still proclaiming his message of free and sovereign grace to all who will listen. And the emphasis upon a finished work. There is his work. There is his worthiness. What have you been living for? When you consider all that he has accomplished for fallen, undeserving man, surely he is worthy. But more than that tonight, did you ever think of his willingness? How he dealt with Zacchaeus, who was hated of everyone, and saved him. How he converted Paul, who was a terrorist, and made him into a soul winner. How there are probably and possibly people that you know, and perhaps to your surprise, the Lord stepped into their life and he changed them. And maybe what you need tonight is more light. And men and women, we want you to understand that we as believers are praying for you. And we know that for things to change for you, it's a large request. Because you're in your sin. And you're shackled by your sin. And sin has dominion in your life. I trust as God in mercy gives you more light tonight as you think of why Christ came to bear our sin and what he can do for you tonight if you will come to him. That light will have you consider even words such as we find there in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Now it's the words I'm looking at, not the individual here. It says in verse 5, then said I, woe is me. Woe is me. That's a singling out. And dear friend, that is what God does when the gospel is preached. He singles men and women out. I was talking to a young fella just within this past couple of days, and he was witnessing to another young fella who's about 18 or 19. And he said to him, when you listen to the gospel, do you never feel singled out? Do you never feel singled out? And he said, well, if you do, that is God speaking to your conscience. It's called conviction. And the young fellow was a little bit confused and was, let this be a warning to all of us. We don't go around criticizing people for the sake of it, but there seems to be a lot of confusion these days regarding doctrine and regarding, you know, Christ's work of atonement. And this talk of physical healing in the atonement, when it says, by his stripes we are healed, that's all referring to his work of redemption for healing us from our sin. Of course he can heal if he chooses to do so. But the young fellow was thinking, but does there not need to be something more outstanding? Faith cometh by hearing, the young fellow said to him, and hearing by the word of God, and that's all you need. I thought it was brilliant. In a very, very careful and measured way, he witnessed to that other fellow and tried to show him that God singles men and women out. And folks, do young people and older, do be very careful where there's this emphasis on that which is sensational. And it seems almost we're getting back to signs and wonders and the people looking for something which is outstanding rather than exhorting men and women to come in simple faith as sinners and know that they'll be saved if they do that. I wonder if God's singling you out tonight, speaking to your conscience, making you concerned, confronting you with his word. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so many in the word of God who were confronted by that same word, they walked away. Possibly people will do that tonight in various assemblies across the province. It says, woe is me, that's the singling out. It says here, I am undone. Many of us tonight who are saved, we're glad we got to that point when there was what I've called a solemn acknowledgement. I am undone, it's because of sin. I wonder, unsaved person, is there ever going to come a time when you realize that you are undone? I don't know how many people of all ages have stood here in the pulpit and thank God for that time when they realized they were undone. The solemn acknowledgement. But look here, there's the sight of holiness. It says, I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth. Lo, this hath touched thy lips. That is the sight of holiness, the scene of recovery. It says, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. Did you notice there that it all happened at the place of sacrifice? See what it says? It says that he took the live coal from off the altar. And there's pardon here and forgiveness. And the iniquity is taken away. Surely tonight there's someone listening. And God in his mercy has given you enough light to realize that you are undone. We've been praying hard. There's people who come to our prayer meetings when I first come here, and they sit in their place, and there's a number of them are now in glory. And when they were here, they prayed for unsafe people. And there are people who are praying for you still. And we're asking for something that, humanly speaking, is impossible. But men and women, God is able. And you've rejected him. Maybe you have ridiculed the word of God. You certainly have resisted the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But the good news tonight is that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Here's a fact. Nothing else will change you and prepare you for eternity except divine intervention. The Bible shows us that man and woman, their heart is as hard as a stone. You might look there in what it says over in the book of Zechariah. I'll give you a second to turn it up. Zechariah and chapter 7. Verse 8 of chapter 7 says, the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, here's what the Lord has to say. And then the people listen. But if you look at verse 11, but they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. The word pulled there means they made it heavy. They simply did not want to know. And why did they not want to know verse 11? Verse 12, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. The word adamant stone there, adamant means sharp and pointed. That which is not pliable or soft. Whenever did you see a heart that was naturally sharp and pointed? The thought here is of that which is no interest at all. And maybe that's where you are tonight. We have the great promises of the Lord in Ezekiel 11:19 regarding some. Regarding those who, if their heart was right with the Lord, it says, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh is not pointed and sharp. We're in chapter 36, the same book, Ezekiel. Verse 26, it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh." It's a big change, isn't it, men and women? It's a large request to come to the Lord with. And as we look to Him tonight, and as we pray for unsaved, and we look around us and we see a country that is almost pagan now, we need unusual intervention. So many are in darkness and seem to need more light. I trust tonight that God will give you all the light that you need in order to help you to see your sin, to help you to see that He is the answer, and that tonight you will respond to the call of the gospel. There's a large request here, but secondly, there is the Lord's readiness. There's no doubt that Joshua was a man who was close to the Lord. And if you read through the word, of course, you notice that there are people who had asked the Lord for great things, but this is outstanding. And the Lord did it. Do you see what it says there? It says in verse 14, "And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man." It's an unusual situation. And it says that there was no day after it, and in man's existence on earth, there probably never will be a day like that again. But that was what was required then. There was a five-nation coalition that were opposing Joshua. They ended up failing spectacularly, and their kings were executed. We'll mention that later on. But thinking here of the Lord's readiness, we think that there was a dispersing. Look at verse 16. "But these five kings," that is those in Joshua chapter 10, those who were against Joshua, "but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave." All that really mattered to these kings, you see, was their standing and their social appearance being enhanced. That's what they wanted. And as we mentioned this morning, stuff meant a lot to them. But Joshua says to the Lord, "Would you give us more light so that we can continually pursue these men and you can help us?" And now it's all over. Now it's all over for them. Verse 17, there's a discovery. It says, "And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Megiddo." That illustrates something else tonight, unsaved person. You can't hide from God. It irritates me sometimes that these who were leaders, these kings, they were happy for the ordinary 5'8" to be cut down, but they went and hid in the cave. And they couldn't hide there because it was exposed where they were. And men and women, if you're hiding tonight behind deceit or a smart argument or a very rebellious heart, wherever you are, you cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Verse 18 shows us they were detained. "And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them." Their safety turned into a prison. And maybe you have found some solace in sin and now it's got a hold of you. And in order to continue to find some degree of satisfaction, you're giving yourself more and more and more to it, and you're pampering sin. And it's a snare now to you. Look at verse 20. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a great slaughter till they were consumed, the rest that remained entered into the fenced cities." The word "moved" there in verse 21 It says, none moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. It means to cut. They're finished. Their days at that time of doing Joshua any harm were come to an end. And men and women, as we consider these things briefly regarding the enemies of Joshua, the Lord's readiness, and it all hinged upon there being more light. And the Lord gave a longer day so that there would be more light, so that all of this might be accomplished. Unsaved person, how much light do you need? How many more days or months or years of light do you need before you come to the Lord? The Lord is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you haven't come. But I want to say tonight, again, as Christians have been praying, the Lord is ready. He's ready to give you light, the light that you need, to show you the way to the cross, if you will come. There's one final thought here, and it is the longed for result. Look at verse 23. It says, and they did so, that is the five kings, and they brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, unto Joshua, that is, the king of Jerusalem, and the king of Hebron, and the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. They brought them all out. Their place of safety had become their prison, and now there is the longed for result. What is the longed for result? Why did he want more light? So that he had more time to pursue the enemies. Now he's got them right down to he found the five leaders all hiding in the cave. They brought them out to execute them. Very, very interesting as you consider who they were. And if you put them together, they're a picture of everything that is false. Jerusalem refers to peace. But remember Geshem, mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 2. His name meant peace, and he was anything but peaceable. It was false. You notice there Hebron, which means, refers to joining of an alliance, a joining alliance. Again, it was false fellowship. Look at Jarmuth there, which means high or lifted up. Think again of Sanballat in Nehemiah chapter 2. He was one, his name meant lifted up. If you look there at Lachish, at Lachish, it means hard to be captured. Thought as a false security. And there's one more. It is Eglon, which means pertaining to a calf. Again, a false system of worship. You take all of them things and add them together. False peace, false fellowship. Higher lifted up, that speaks of pride. Hard to be captured, men on the run. False security, false worship. That's what all of our fellow countrymen seem to be involved in right now. And every one of those problems can be dealt with if you will come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus tonight. You see, the gospel is not to be obscured. The Bible says if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And if you're lost right now, the answer to that lostness is look. Look and live. So we come here on this journey with Joshua from needing divine intervention and needing more light to complete victory. And we have in this picture of more light being given, a picture of the Lord dealing with even the very hardest of sinners. And we have to admit tonight, we feel that there's more hardened sinners than there used to be. People have become remarkably hard. And I asked the question tonight as we finish this message on more light needed. And we remember the points that we looked at together. It was a large request. Dear unsaved person, I can't change you. And neither can any man or woman on this earth. But the Lord can. However far you are gone, listen well, you're not too far gone for him. Large request, that there would be more light. And we're asking that for sinners tonight.